Welcome to God and Country Radio. Parent discusses current social, economic, political, prophetic events of life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Since every week I've been covering very heavy moral conflicts in the culture war, it's time to have some levity and take on a lighter topic. This week's program is about UFOs. Hence the iconic Twilight Zone music at the beginning of the program, which has come to represent in our culture the bizarre, the weird, the crackpot theories. So let's straighten out our tinfoil hats and get started. This will probably be the only program I'm ever going to do about UFOs, unless they arrive and present themselves in Washington, like in that classic movie Mars Attack, or even if you're old enough to remember the radio drama The War of the Worlds, Orson Welles. I remember my mother saying that when she was younger, she heard the program live when it was aired in 1938. She said she knew it was fiction, but her brothers all thought it was real. Oh, by the way, in 2005, Tom Cruise did a great retake on The War of the Worlds, and the movie was set in nearby Perth Amboy, New Jersey. I'm a great fan of sci-fi because it's a way to teach a moral lesson through a situation outside of ourselves, which helps us better see the lesson. The best sci-fis are morality plays. The Twilight Zone wasn't about the paranormal. It was about teaching moral lessons. So, over the weekend, all of the major networks reported that a family in Las Vegas called 911 to report 8-foot-tall aliens in their backyard. The officers who arrived didn't see the aliens, but they did see the moving, glowing orb over the neighborhood. The two brothers were in the backyard working on their truck at 12 midnight, when all of a sudden they heard something falling from the sky. They turned around to see a bright light and heard an impact with a shockwave. Then they heard footsteps and saw tall, thin creatures with large eyes, large mouth, big feet. They called their father. Their father also saw the creatures. And they called 911. The dispatcher probably thought they were crazy. Well, this young man reported the whole event in a YouTube entitled, "I Had Aliens in My Backyard." And you can check that out if you want to. You know, I had to laugh over the whole thing, whether it's real or not. I just find humor in the unknown, especially given my secure relationship with the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10, "Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the ways of the nations, and do not be terrified by signs of the heavens, although the nations were terrified by them." And here's another story that the networks ran with last week. Military whistleblower goes public with claim that the U.S. has a secret UFO retrieval program. Air Force veteran says secret U.S. military program retrieving crafts of non-human origin, sometimes encountering dead pilots. And this seems credible coming from an Air Force veteran. Here's from the article. David Charles Grunch, a 36-year-old decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, served the National Reconnaissance Office, acting as their representative to Congress's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force from 2019 to 2021. At the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, he also served from late 2021 to July 2022. As co-lead of Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, UAP, analyst and its representative to the task force, which was recently renamed the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Grunch has filed a whistleblower complaint to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General on classified information that he insists proves the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the U.S. government, its allies, and defense contractors. So here is someone that the military itself selects to inform Congress on UFOs, and he's claiming that the government is still hiding information, so much so that he's willing to risk his career. All sounds legitimate, but let me start off this topic by pointing out that people can tell big whoppers. And just when you think there is no way someone would lie about such and such, you will discover they're lying. And don't imagine that you're able to tell when someone's lying, as if you can judge their sincerity or their demeanor. You can't. Now, of course, there are some people who are not good at lying. But for the real liars in this world, you can't tell. Beware of those who say, "I can tell if someone's lying." They're usually the first to be deceived. And people in groups can get together in a mass psychosis and believe a lie. People see what they want to believe. And this gets into the whole area of Christian apologetics. There are some Christian writers who try to prove the Christian faith by saying the disciples of Christ must have been telling the truth because they wouldn't have died for a lie. They wouldn't have preached the resurrection of Christ throughout the Roman Empire and taken that kind of persecution if they made up the story. Well, I have always considered that to be a very poor proof for Christianity. People die for lies all the time, such as the Islamists who flew planes into the World Trade Center. They died for a lie. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, received all sorts of persecution for his tall tales about receiving gold tablets in the mountains of New York, but he held to his story. Neighbors used to say that when he was young, he used to always tell tall tales in the neighborhood. And furthermore, our perceptions and our experiences are not necessarily grounded in truth. People can be schizophrenic, delusional, psychotic, especially when they're under stress. But you say, well, the Bible tells us that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. True, that's what God tells us we need to go with. But that doesn't mean two or three witnesses establish the truth beyond a shadow of a doubt. The scriptures even make provision for lying witnesses. And people can tell falsehoods in groups. In fact, we have whole political parties in America that tell lies. Just look up in the Bible how often the Bible refers to people swearing falsely. And the most universal character trait of the unsaved man is lying. Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. The atheist David Hume made the following famous statement about miracles or even the paranormal. Quote, "A miracle is so contradictory to all human experience that it's more reasonable to believe any amount of testimony false than to believe a miracle to be true." So the argument refuting Hume's statement is that the individual is then making his own personal experience the measure of all human experience. So if someone in the 19th century sees a plane flying through the air for the first time, are we to say that he cannot believe it's so because it doesn't sync with his personal past experiences? With Hume's statement, we could never accept anything possible or anything new. But nevertheless, Hume's point needs to be considered. If one sees a miracle or something paranormal, one should first begin to question his own perceptions, his own eyesight, his own sanity, before claiming to have seen the supernatural. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 addresses this. "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. The qualifier, inflated without cause, indicates that these are false visions. Just like in Jeremiah 23, the lying prophet spoke visions of their own imagination. So, why then do I believe in the resurrection of Christ and the gospel? Well, it has very little to do with the witness of the disciples, but it's the moral message of the Bible that convinces me that the Bible is true. Also, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the witness of creation, that gives witness to the attributes, the eternal power, and the divine nature of God. But that's a whole other subject. The point I'm trying to make here is that we should always consider seriously that the UFO phenomenon may be one big mass psychosis, a hoax. And that's where we should start. But having said that, there have been other stories and videos of UFOs that defy explanation. I'm not talking about the Chinese balloon that flew over the United States in February. Yeah, at first, everyone thought that the Air Force was chasing an alien spaceship. Probably 99% of UFO sightings are cases of mistaken identity. But then there's this video footage that the Navy released in 2020 of Navy pilots pursuing UFOs. An unclassified report was released in June of 2021 by the U.S. Director of National Intelligence. It concluded that UFOs related to 144 instances dating back to 2004, largely defying explanation and calling for further investigation and analysis. On November 23rd of 2021, the Pentagon announced the establishment of the Airborne Objective Identification and Management Synchronization Group. That's AOIMSG for short. To succeed the Navy's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And in December of 2021, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2022, signed by President Biden, included provisions for the establishment of a permanent agency to investigate unexplained aerial phenomenon. And then last spring, the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation held congressional hearings with top military officials to discuss military reports of unexplained aerial phenomena, UAPs. It was the first congressional hearing on UFO sightings in over 50 years. And what came from that hearing was the declassification of some UFO photos. And now Congress is planning to hold special hearings in the light of this whistleblower saying that the government is still hiding UFO information. So you can see that there's a great interest and belief in UFOs today. And that's one of the reasons for this program. Here's an article from The Atlantic, Why Everyone is Suddenly Talking About Aliens. Well, it's because you have these reports, people can catch more photos with their cell phones, and the government is investigating these things. This is a story that people at work will be talking about in the break room. And what is to be our Christian witness? How can we use this to bring people's attention to what really matters, their relationship with God and salvation through Christ? As I just mentioned, it's probably a good opportunity to discuss with people how it's easy to be deceived and to address the question of how we know what is true and false in this world. And that topic can always bring the conversation around to God and the Bible. Now, second, let's assume for a moment that UFOs are real. Then what? What does the Bible have to say about this? The Bible says nothing about God having made other planets inhabited by other beings. In fact, the nature of God's redemption plan through Christ's incarnation seems to mitigate against there being other species on other planets. But this one thing we do know, God did create two races. The human race, and the angelic race. And it's been long speculated that UFOs are of demonic origin. This is not something that I've come up with. Every pastor I've ever talked with about this subject sees a connection between UFOs and what the Bible says about demons. Ephesians chapter 2, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He rules over a kingdom of fallen angels. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, rulers, powers, the world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So let me explain how this might be working. Satan and his fallen angels were cast down to the earth. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Demons don't live on Mars. They don't live on Venus. They don't live in some other galaxy. They live among us. As in the slogan, we're not alone. And there are plenty of scriptures to indicate that the demonic spiritual world is subject to some of the same limitations in time and dimension as we're limited to. It's not as if they can transport themselves across the universe. They have to move among us in conventional ways. They may be trapped on Earth, where our physical dimension meets their spiritual dimension. The angelic race exists in a dimension we cannot see, so they're non-physical in that sense. And the Bible describes them as spirits, which is the term for wind. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are they not ministering spirits? So don't imagine you can see angels unless by some supernatural intervention by God. And it appears these demons can influence people in their thoughts because we're both spiritual and physical beings. Part of us is in the physical world, and the other part of us, our souls, are in the spiritual world. And according to what we read in the Gospels, the demons can only have contact with the physical world through the possession of people. It's only through our senses can they fully perceive the physical world. And this conclusion is drawn from what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and it doesn't find any. And it says, I will return to the house from which I came. So apparently, not being connected to the physical world is an unpleasant experience for demons. The demons, at least some of them, some of a particular category, because all demons do not have the same gifts, would rather be in connection with the world. Now, concerning UFOs, there are two theories. First, that UFOs and these aliens are spiritual beings that reveal themselves, you know, just like the angels that appeared to men in the Old Testament. Remember in Judges chapter 13, verse 10, Manoah and his wife were visited by an angel, and the angel left by ascending in the flames of the altar. These alien sightings could just be deceptive spiritual manifestations of demons. They seem to appear and disappear quickly. The second theory is that these demons have somehow secured for themselves or created for themselves some sort of physical body. They're highly intelligent beings. They know how DNA works. And there's all sorts of theories about this, that before the Noahic flood, the demons interacted with the human race and taught them science, and that these are the fallen angels spoken about in the book of Jude, that they did not keep their own domain, their own region, and they left their proper abode. So God has kept these demons in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. In other words, demons are on a short leash. They can't do everything they would like to do, otherwise God will send them into the abyss early. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, the demon said to Jesus, have you come to destroy us before the time? Well, the UFO possibility then becomes that these are fallen demons who live among us, who hide from us, who have to move about the planet, and they've created special ships to do so. And let's also remember that the demons are deceivers. Their goal is to distract people from the gospel of Christ and to portray a false narrative about the universe. As Answers in Genesis points out, that the whole UFO narrative of aliens from other planets is based on a Darwinistic evolutionary assumption. There are non-Christian researchers into the UFO phenomenon that speculate that UFOs are about something evil, something demonic, something that is originating not from outer space, but from within our own planet. Here's an interesting quote from a well-known UFO researcher, Dr. Jacques Vallée. Quote, "We're dealing with a yet unrecognized level of subconsciousness, independent of man but closely linked to the Earth. I do not believe anymore that UFOs are simply the spacecraft of some race of extraterrestrial visitors. This notion is too simplistic to explain their appearance, the frequency of their manifestations throughout recorded history, and the structure of the information exchanged with them during contact. An impressive parallel can be made between UFO occupants and the popular conception of demons. UFOs can project images or fabricate scenes designed to change our belief systems. Human belief is being controlled and conditioned. Man's concepts are being rearranged. And we may be heading for a massive change of human attitudes toward paranormal activities, and extraterrestrial life." Unquote, Dr. Jacques Vallée's, for what that's worth. So can it be, as we enter the end of this age, there will be more awareness and interaction between humanity and demons? Maybe so. But here's where I want to end. I'm going to discuss this more in my YouTube video version of this program. Beware of speculation. Beware of going beyond scripture. As Paul wrote to Timothy, "I urge you on my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines." This means beware of doctrines which are outside the teaching of scripture. Sure, the Bible does give us the doctrine of demons, but the Bible is silent about UFOs. There is no prophetic word about UFOs, so that shouldn't be our focus. We've got bigger fish to fry. In preparing for this program, I discovered that there are whole Christian ministries that focus on UFOs and the paranormal. I don't usually visit those sites, but it sure sounds like 1 Timothy 6:4, a morbid interest in controversial questions. It's sad that that kind of sensationalism sucks in so many religious people. And these folks see their whole faith through that lens, rather than feeding on the doctrines of Christ and salvation, holy living, prayer, missions. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Professing Christians who can tell you all about UFOs and the occult and conspiracy theories, but they don't know how to be good husbands or fathers or providers, because they've been discipled in the wrong thing. So UFOs are a big thing today. Be aware of the various explanations. But 1 Peter 3:15, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to my YouTube and Rumble channel. It's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to be aware of the great deceptions that are in this world. Help us to keep our focus and our evangelism on the truth of Christ. Amen.